Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through chapter 2, verse 3, and then Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 10. Beginning then with Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. And then next, in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 through 10. "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.' And he said to me, 'These are the true words of God.' Then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'"
All right, let's pray together. Father, we come in your Son, who is our righteousness, our redemption, our resurrection, who reigns now for us, who is promised, as we have the promise that he is going to return. And Lord, we trust now in your word. And we pray now that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that your word would go forward and it would find a place in us and you would build up our faith. Oh, I pray, Lord, that you would help me to get out of the way, and you, Lord Jesus, would stand forth, we pray. In your name, amen.
Amen.
The Lord our God is both our Creator and our Redeemer. He is the one who has created us, and he is the one who has saved us. While these roles can be distinguished, they should not be truly separated. In fact, throughout the scriptures, you see how the Lord our God's power to speak the universe into existence and his power to deliver sinners like you and me into his kingdom so often intimately intersect. There are many examples of this we could look at this morning, but let us come back now to the book of Exodus and see how the Lord's command to the people of Israel, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, showcases for us our God's dual role as our Creator and our Redeemer. And let me say from the beginning, as you would well expect, that we're not going to be so much going over the do's and don'ts of Sabbath observance. For it's far more important for us to understand that this command is about us being invited to bask in divine glory and not merely to stop work for a time. It's about us learning to graciously fellowship with all believers and not solely an opportunity for us to get some extra rest. It's about us celebrating our King's victorious sacrifice of Himself on our behalf to bring us to experience eating at His table and not simply a rusty routine of recalling an historical event. Indeed, the Sabbath is our invitation to, our instruction in, and our experience of heaven. So let's turn to our passage for this morning, primarily Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. We'll, just in a few minutes, we'll be referring back to the first chapters of Genesis. And we want to see, first of all, how we rest because God rested. We rest because God rested. I want us to actually begin by looking at verse 11 in Exodus chapter 20. For it's there that we are given the foundation for the Sabbath command. We read there, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." It's clear that the command, back up in verse 8, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, and the subsequent pattern given in verse 9 and 10, is founded upon the Lord's own actions back at creation, when He worked 6 days and rested on the seventh. Indeed, verse 11 points us back to the first chapters of Genesis, when our God created the universe. God the Creator made light, land, sky, and sea. He formed cattle. He formed fish and birds and reptiles. But all this was working up to His ultimate achievement when, as we read in Genesis 1, verse 27, that God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. And we can see that from the very beginning, God blessed these creatures who bore His image and gave them work to do within His creation. We read in verse 28, "And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So from the very beginning, mankind was given a work to do. And while we do not know how much time elapsed before creation and the fall, I think we can safely assume that if enough time elapsed, even Adam and Eve would have routinely observed a Sabbath rest following the example of the Lord. As creatures created in His image, they would have imitated their Creator, working 6 days and resting on the seventh. Adam and Eve would have rested because God rested. Indeed, God rested. We read in Genesis 2, 1 and verses 1 and 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done." So God rested on the seventh day, and God blesses his rest. We see in verse 3, "So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy." Why? Because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. As we see later on in the book of Exodus with the fourth command, the seventh day is blessed and made holy precisely because it is when God rested. God's rest is a holy blessing. However, you may be wondering, why did God rest in the first place? Why did he get tired? Well, as you well know, the Lord resting on the seventh day was not, in a sense, for himself. That is, in the sense that he needed to rest because he was tired. Nevertheless, the Lord resting on the seventh day does teach us something about himself and his creation. That is, it teaches us there is an ultimate purpose to creation. The ultimate purpose of creation is that God is glorified in himself, and for himself to enjoy his glory in light of all that he has made. You see, this is possible because our God is a Trinity: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The enjoyment of divine glory between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit over the finished work of creation is, I propose, what was occurring as God rested on the seventh day. And this is why the seventh day is blessed and made holy, because God's glory and the enjoyment of God is that the seventh day symbolized is the ultimate purpose of creation. From the very beginning, mankind was to understand that their 6 days of work, their 6 days of filling the earth, subduing it, exercising dominion over it, was not ultimate, but was all leading to the seventh day, the Sabbath rest. The time when they were invited to come together as creatures before their Creator, to enter into the fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to exalt in and enjoy the blessing of divine glory. Nevertheless, this invitation was forfeited when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord. The fellowship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of which we were created to experience, was lost. And furthermore, the task that mankind was given to fill the earth, to multiply, fill the earth, and to exercise dominion over it was cursed. Childbearing would be defined by pain. The ground would bring forth thorns and thistles. We were barred from the presence of the Lord, no longer to be able to enjoy the blessing of divine glory. From that time forward to this very day, fallen mankind lives in a desperately restless state. Nevertheless, our God, who is our Creator, is also our Redeemer. As we well know, He comes to Abraham and promises to bless him, and through his seed, to bless every family on the earth. This promised blessing, the ultimate realization of this promised blessing, first given to Abraham in Genesis 12, is nothing less than the experience of what had been forfeited. That is, men, women, and children created in God's image, being invited by their Creator to enjoy Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To exalt and enjoy the blessing of divine glory. See, the promise, the blessing promised to Abraham is only truly fulfilled when we experience the blessing with which the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is why the Sabbath is so central to the Ten Commandments. Perhaps why it's given more space than any other commandment, if you noticed. And why it's so prominent throughout the Old Testament as it records the Lord's relationship with the people of Israel. The people of Israel, as God's chosen people, were graciously invited to experience a foretaste of the fulfillment of the promised blessing to Abraham. They were invited on the seventh day by the Lord to come away from this cursed world and to enjoy the heavenly blessings of His rest. To stop and give thanks to their God's provision, protection, and purification of them that week. To experience His relative nearness, first at the tabernacle and then at the temple. And to actively participate in simply exalting in and enjoying the divine blessing of being in a covenantal relationship with the Creator of heaven and earth. The invitation of the Sabbath is an invitation to bask in divine glory. We get a sense of such an invitation when we read Isaiah 55, 1 through 2. It says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in the richest affair." So we've seen so far how, as creatures created in God's image, we rest because God rested. And this rest is no mere sensation of work, but an invitation to enjoy the blessings of heaven. The light, the love, the life shared between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Next, let us see how we are to rest with and for one another. We rest with and for one another. In Exodus 20, 9 and 10, we are given an explanation of the practice of the Sabbath. We read in Exodus 20, 9 and 10, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or your sojourner who is within your gates. So of course the Sabbath required that the people of Israel stop working in order that they give their full attention to the Lord their God. This involved turning away from the work of their own hands and resting upon God's word to provide. So each Sabbath was to be a lesson in faith. Beyond this, the Sabbath required that the whole of the people of Israel stop working. That is, everyone, families, servants, sojourners, even livestock, were given the opportunity to give their full attention to the Lord their God. See, the privileged were not to rest and worship while those less fortunate were needed to continue to work and strain. No, the Lord wanted the elders, the well-off of the people of Israel, to give the young, the poor, the alien, a rest. Each week was to be a lesson in grace. So the people of Israel were to rest with and for every segment of their community or society. So you have a lesson in faith and a lesson in grace. And let's just look at each of these a little more closely. So first off, the Sabbath was to be an instruction in faith. Through a weekly observance of a Sabbath to the Lord, the people of Israel were to learn to trust Him, to believe His word, to depend upon His provision. In fact, we see this first when the Lord brings the manna in the wilderness and instructs them to go out and get the necessary manna for each day for 5 days, and then on the sixth to get twice as much, so that on the seventh day they won't go out and they can observe a Sabbath. We read, this is in Exodus 16:26. 6 days you shall gather it, the manna that is, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. So the Sabbath was an opportunity for the people of Israel to exercise faith in the Lord. Would they trust God that the extra that they had gathered on the sixth day wouldn't begin to rot and become worm infested overnight? Would they trust God that what He had provided was sufficient and not go out the next day and seeking for more? The Sabbath would continue to be a test of faith long after the manna ceased and the people of Israel exited the wilderness and had settled in the promised land. The people of Israel going forward would continue to be tempted to seek after their earthly sustenance through their own means. The question would always be, would they, trusting in themselves, would they work on the Sabbath? See, work on the Sabbath, bearing burdens in from the field or buying, selling at the gates, was a sign of the unbelief of the people. Not resting and worshiping meant that they were not trusting and depending on the Lord. This meant that they were strictly living by the rules of the earth and not recognizing that the Lord, the God of heaven, was indeed their provider. Well, everyone, even today, strains, struggles, and swindles to get the last bit here on earth. The Lord of heaven has unlimited resources to provide for his children. See, this is learned through stopping your work and resting on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was to be an instruction in faith. Not only that, though, but an instruction in grace as well. Through a weekly observance of a Sabbath to the Lord, the people of Israel were to learn to graciously treat others in the same way that the Lord had graciously treated them. This specific instructive purpose is seen more clearly when the command is repeated later on in the book of Deuteronomy. It's there that Moses in Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, after having repeated how the whole of the people of Israel were to be given a rest, he says in Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." The Sabbath was to be an opportunity for the people of Israel to be gracious to those around them, just like the way the Lord had been gracious to them. They had been helpless slaves in Egypt under Pharaoh. The Lord had graciously delivered them with a promise of rest. Now they were to do the same. They were to be gracious to those around them and provide rest to the young, the sojourner, the alien. This connection between the people of Israel's experience of the Lord's grace and their practice of being gracious to those around them is also explicitly seen back in the book of Exodus, just a bit later on. If we turn to Exodus 23, verse 9, we read, "You shall not oppress a sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you are sojourners in the land of Egypt." Then just a few verses later, in verse 12, we read, "6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed." The people of God are called to trust in God's gracious salvation. They're also called to share that grace with those around them. We have freely received, therefore we are to freely give. This means that the Sabbath day is not to merely be a selfish ceremony during which our own refreshment is paramount. But we are to rest with and for one another so that everyone is able to be refreshed by God's grace together. The Sabbath is to be instruction in grace. Now there's much that could be said here, but I'll leave it with this. Within the body of Christ, Each Lord's Day, there's to be fellowship between young and old, rich and poor, black and white. That is to say, there's to be relationships, fellowship that is inexplicable apart from the grace of God. For here, as we read in Colossians 3:11, for here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. So we've seen how we are to rest because God rested, and we are to rest with and for one another. The Sabbath is to be an expression of our faith in the Lord's promise to provide, and an opportunity for us to share the grace the Lord has shown to us. Lastly, let us see that we must remember to rest. We must rest to remember. The goal of the Sabbath day is for us to experience the blessing of being in covenant with God. Despite mankind rebelling against the rule of their Creator, the Lord has indeed redeemed the relationship. Jesus Christ is indeed the seed of Abraham, who has both fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law and suffered the penalty of sin, so that you and me can say, along with the Apostle Paul, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Once again, we experience the promised blessing given to Abraham when we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Being blessed in Christ is to know the blessing of heaven. That is the blessed rest of the Sabbath day. That is exalting in and enjoying the divine glory shared between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the rest that Christ gives, in a very real sense, we always have today. The rest that Christ gives, well, we can never end. It can never be taken away. We hear the word, the call of our Savior, echoes of Isaiah 55. "Come to me, and I will give you rest." Indeed, this rest cannot be taken away. See, the rest that Christ gives cannot be taken away, will never end, because it rests upon the covenant established with His own body and blood. Jesus said to His disciples at the Last Supper, "Do this in remembrance of me," referring to the Lord's Supper. We now obey Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy when we come and we remember in Christ, we remember the rest that He has secured for us through the giving of His body and blood. This is why we must remember to rest. We must rest to remember. That word remember in Exodus 20 verse 8 is significant in that it refers to covenantal faithfulness. Another example of this would be if we look back to Exodus chapter 2. This is when the people of Israel are still in bondage in Egypt. And we read in Exodus 2:24, "And God heard the people of Israel's groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." It was not that he had forgotten the covenant, but that he was honoring it. In the same way that the remember found in Exodus 20 verse 8 is not telling us that the Sabbath day was just an important day on the calendar not to be forgotten, but that it was the way in which the people of Israel were to honor the covenant the Lord had established between himself and them. Indeed, the Sabbath day again symbolized the goal of the covenant. This role of the Sabbath and the covenant of the people of Israel can be seen more clearly if we turn. I invite you to turn with me to Exodus 31. Verse 15 through 17. So this is Exodus 31, 15 through 17. It reads, "Six days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." We can see from this passage how Sabbath day observance was essential to the covenant the Lord established between himself and the people of Israel. However, what I don't want us to miss is how the Lord once again connects the role of the Sabbath in his covenant with Israel back into his actions at the time of creation. The Lord who is the creator, who mankind rebelled against, has always had the redemptive intention to restore. Better yet, to freely provide the invitation to sinners to come and to enjoy his blessed Sabbath rest. He desires those who are suffering under the toil of earth to enjoy the splendor of heaven. Indeed, we can see in the book of Exodus how the Lord of redemption is the God of creation. He who rested together with himself at the beginning on the seventh day is he who is wonderfully working to overcome for sinners every obstacle of their depravity so that they can participate in the fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Indeed, as the Lord says in Exodus 31:13, referring to Sabbath day observance, he says, "And you do this so that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. I, the Lord, sanctify you." But now, the God of creation, as we read in Genesis 2:2, having finished his work of creation, rested on the seventh day. is the Lord our redemption, who, as we are told in John 19:30, having been crucified, cried out, "It is finished," thus establishing a new covenant with his body and blood, and thus enacting a new creation, of which, if you believe in Jesus, you are a part. Therefore, anyone who is in Christ, new creation, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. The new has come. And just like to his disciples, Jesus instructs us, do this in remembrance of me. That is, honor the covenant that I have made with you through observing the covenantal sign. That is the Lord's Supper, which we will, Lord willing, celebrate next week. And this is just like the people of Israel did honor the covenant of the Lord made with them through the Sabbath observance. But in the same way that the Sabbath was to symbolize the goal of the covenant for the people of Israel, the Lord's Supper symbolizes the goal of the new covenant. Do you remember when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper? He says in Matthew 26:29, speaking to his disciples, "I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Our invitation to come and worship the Lord and to celebrate the Lord's Supper here and now is a picture and promise of our invitation and experience of that, the marriage supper of the Lamb on that blessed future day. At that supper, you will fully enjoy the fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You will fully be exalting in and enjoying the blessing of divine glory. And you will be fully satisfied as you participate in God's holy Sabbath rest. The Sabbath is our invitation to, instruction in, and experience of heaven. Amen. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you are a gracious God and you are a holy God. And we come, Lord, and bring our sin to you this morning, Lord, knowing that in your death, Lord Jesus, you paid for it, and that we can rest because of what you have done for us. And so, Lord, we pray that we would know your Sabbath rest today and look forward to the day when we will fully know it. Oh, Lord, may your word build us up. And may we, Lord, enjoy, Lord, exalt in, even today, exalt in and enjoy the blessing, the divine glory, knowing the Lord, through what you have done, we have been invited into your fellowship. So we thank you, Father, Holy Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray. Amen. Amen. Our final hymn this morning, what number is it? 5.
Blood of mine, all of the cells, is everyone?
Yes, I believe so. Please rise. Let's try this.
Okay.
The divine love's excelling joy of, in 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 jo